This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We're going to continue reading our introduction to Dr. Samirai's epic book. And we're going to talk today about the way the Quran gave signature meanings to words that Arabic did not give. So the Arabic dictionary says this word means this, like winds. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the first example is pretty cool. Winds, plural, like the winds are strong, mm-hmm. or the wind is strong, mm-hmm. right? So you can use the word wind in English literature also for plural and for singular,
yeah.
right? And the Quran decides, Allah decides that he's going to use the plural in a certain way and the singular in a certain way. So let's see what he does, okay? استعمل الرياح حيث وردت في القرآن استعمل الرياح حيث وردت في القرآن الكريم في الخير والرحمة واستعمل الريح في الشر والعقوبات. The Quran used رياح, winds, the plural, that's the plural word. Let me highlight that. I don't know if it works. It doesn't work. Okay, it just made me feel good to think I could do it. Okay, so الرياح, winds, is used in the Quran whenever Allah talks about something good or mercy or something beneficial coming from Allah. And he used the word wind, singular, when something bad and terrible is about to happen. That is not to say that a wind is bad and multiple winds are good. Mm-hmm. That is to say the Quran created a style in which one word was associated with something, and he wanted to create a separate association with a separate word. Almost as if the listener is being trained to think ahead of time, oh, something good is coming. Well, something bad is coming when Allah is speaking. Like Allah is, you know, acclimating his reciters, his listeners, the listeners of his word, the people who rehearse his word. He's acclimating them to a speech pattern, right? So I do this with kids, for example, when I play psychological games with children. Like, you know, it's time for a, it's time for a, and then they'll say story, right? When they were little, I would say, it's time for a, story. It's time for a
story.
And then I'd say, it's time for a story. And then 3 days later, I'd say, it's time for a
story.
And like, story? No, no, it's homework. So, but I set them up where they can imagine what's coming, right? The same way, instead of it's time for a, when he says winds, then you already start thinking something good is coming, right? So you start anticipating. And so he created this kind of new psychological effect from his speech that didn't exist in, you know, in pre-Islam. So قال تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ, and he's the one who sends the winds. He, Allah is the one who sends the winds. بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ, as a giving, as delivering good news, right, in, right ahead of his mercy, meaning the winds come right before the rain comes. There's a wind that changes and people can tell that now it's going to rain and the crop is going to grow. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ, and among his miraculous signs is that he sends winds bringing good news. وَلِيُذِيقَكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, and so that he can allow you to taste from his mercy. وَفِي حِينٍ, at the same time, فِي حِينٍ means at the same time. قَالَ, he said, قَالَ, you know, means he said, كَمَثَلِ رِيحٍ فِيهَا صِرٌ, like the example of a wind which has freezing cold in it. Mm-hmm. Now, a wind that has freezing cold in it, is that a pleasant thing or an unpleasant thing?
Pleasant thing.
Freezing cold, is it pleasant? I think you're, because you're in Texas, you don't know what this is. When you're in New York and you have freezing winds, you don't go outside because the wind goes through your jacket, through your sweater, through your little thermal thing you got at the 99-cent store, and it goes inside your skin, and it goes through your blood vessels, and it goes inside your bones. And there you feel surgically the wind crossing through you. That is freezing wind. It's a beautiful spiritual experience. Let me tell you something about freezing winds. When I used to deliver newspapers when I was in New York, way back in the day, it's like 1837, March. No, February, it was colder. I said, deliver newspapers, and you have to fold, because I used to wear gloves because it's that freezing in the winter, right? It's 3 a.m, it's even colder. So when you fold the newspaper, you have to put a rubber band around it so you can toss it, right? But you can't use a rubber band when you have gloves on. Mm-hmm. Especially the gloves that are like your fingers, we call it, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to take your gloves off, and now mm-hmm. your hands are frozen, and then you got to use a rubber band. Mm-hmm. Now, if your hands are frozen and you use a rubber band, and a little bit of a goes on your head, oh, and you have to do it with 100 newspapers. So it used to be this terror on my face when I'm doing the rubber band, and the final tie comes, and I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, the point was freezing winds, not a pleasant thing.
In Texas, it is.
We've never had freezing winds.
Yeah.
No, that's this not year. Freezing winds. No, that's not freezing winds.
Dude, it was like 9 degrees.
Yeah. Okay, we had a little bit of freezing wind. Okay. Umin ayatihi an yursila riyaha, among his miraculous. No, that's the pleasant ayah. We did that before. Like the example of a single wind, mm-hmm. not winds, mm-hmm. wind, which has freezing cold in it. Asabat harfa qawmin zalamu anfusahum fa ahlakathu. It came upon. It struck the crop of a people that had been committing sins. They had been doing wrong to themselves. So that wind destroyed it. Mm-hmm. Meaning the freezing wind was so destructive that just that wind passing through destroyed entire crops. Mm-hmm. Friend of mine lives in Plano, mm-hmm. over here. And you know we had that winter chill mm-hmm. in Texas. They had an entire forest in their backyard, like an entire patch mm-hmm. of woods. And the vast majority of the trees and the plants died mm-hmm. from the wind. From that freeze, mm-hmm. and they have to like replant everything now. Okay, so anyway, then he says, "Waqal rihun fiha azabun alim," a wind. Now, when he says singular, because he already said Allah acclimated us that when we see here the plural, we're gonna think about
less.
Good.
Oh, okay.
In this case,
oh, okay.
with winds, when we think of winds, something good is coming. Mm-hmm. When we think of wind, something bad is coming. Yeah. Again, it's not part of the Arabic dictionary or the culture. It's just a style inside the Quran, okay? And it, you don't get to generalize that outside and say, hey, somebody said wind, you should watch your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses wind for bad. That's not the point here. Mm-hmm. So I hope you get the point. The point is Quran is creating a signature style within itself. Mm-hmm. It's creating a world of language inside of itself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Allah has created, its own standard. Allah made it revealed its own standard of language. You can't compare it to literature outside. Like it only exists inside the world of the Quran. You don't even find that in the words of the Prophet ﷺ in Hadith. It has its own speech pattern. And that's from a linguistics point of view, what they talk about is original authorship, right? So they'll say that there was actually a really interesting thesis that I attended at Oxford. Somebody was presenting a thesis on the Quran, non-Muslim obviously. And they were trying to present the thesis that the Meccan Quran, the surahs that were revealed in Mecca, like Wal Asr Innal Insana Lafi Khusr, are shorter ayahs, right?
Yeah.
And the Madani Quran, Yusikum Allahu fi awladikum lidhakari mithlu hadhi al-unthayayn fa in kunna, kunna nisa'an fawqathnatayn. It's a long ayah, like 5, 6, 7 lines to one ayah. Mm-hmm. So they had this theory that the author of the Quran in Mecca is different from the author in Medina, like they must be two different because their styles are so different, right? Mm-hmm. And this is non-Muslim, they don't care what kind of research they do. They're not saying this is the word of Allah. Mm-hmm. They're coming at it from a secular point of view, a non-believer's point of view. Mm-hmm. So he does this research, and the way they do this research is in linguistics, they study speech patterns. Mm-hmm. Like how does a person use prepositions? How do they use verbs? How do they put their syntax together? I have a certain way of speaking. So if a linguist hears mm-hmm. me speak for 100 hours, they can tell the way I'm going to put a sentence together because I have a speech pattern. Mm-hmm. There are things that I repeat. There are ways in which I repeat them. Mm-hmm. I have a signature way in which I speak, right? Mm-hmm. Maryam has a signature in the way she speaks. Just like our fingerprints are a signature, mm-hmm. they're unique to us. Yeah. Our speech is also a kind of signature. Mm-hmm. So he does these signature pattern studies of Mecca, the Quran in Mecca, and the Quran in Medina. This is a non-Muslim looking at it from a non-believer's point of view. And then he concludes this is singular authorship. This is the same author, same speech pattern, mm-hmm. right? So what I'm getting at is the Quran has a unique speech pattern, a divine speech pattern that even non-Muslims are studying at this point, okay? So rihun, now Allah says in Surah Al-Ahqaf, rihun, a single wind. So I'm expecting something bad. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, fiha adabun alim, in which there is painful punishment. فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. The nation gets destroyed. They were destroyed by a single wind that was relentless and merciless. It kept crossing all bounds. Like it didn't, you know how atiya means to cross or transgress or trespass even. You know, when somebody comes to your house, they knock, unless it's Maryam. But yeah, they knock and they walk in, right?
Yeah.
But if that's okay, my dear, it's okay. I'll just, you know, keep your blood flowing. So, but a tornado wind, does it knock on your door? No, it doesn't even knock on your wall. It knocks the entire house down.
Yeah.
It has no consideration. So that's atiya in the Quran. And that's used for the singular wind. وَلَمْ يَسْتَعْمِلْ الْرِيحِ فِي الْخَيْرِ إِلَّا فِي مَوْطِنٍ وَاحِدٍ أَعْقَبَهَا بِالشَّرِ. And then what did Allah do? Allah surprised us in one place where he used wind, singular, in a good context. So usually he got us used to using to hearing wind, singular, in a bad context. Punishment is coming, destruction is coming, freezing wind, tornado, right? And then in one place, the wind, but it's going well. So إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ, until the time when you are boarded on ships, وَجَرَيْنَا بِهِمْ, and those ships are sailing them away far into the ocean, بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, with a good wind. And you're like, oh, things are going well. They're in the middle of the ocean. The sail is good. They're going to get to their destination faster. وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا, and they were happy with the wind going in the right direction. But جَاءَتْ هَارِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ, a merciless wind came at them.
Yeah, so I
don't go right, here. So even that good, like, immediately turned to bad. So that's actually a kind of a psychological device where, oh, this time it's not bad. No, it is also bad. You know, it was just kind of like you were led to believe that it was okay, and then the attack came, right?
جَاءَتْهَارِيحٌ
عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, and the wave came and attacked them from every direction. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَطَرُ, and the same kind of concept. So you understand the wind and winds thing that happens in the Quran? So now he's going to talk about rain. And another example of that is the mention of rain. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَجِدُ الْقُرْآنَ يَلْفَظُ بِهِ إِلَّا فِي مَوْضِعِ الْإِنْتِقَامِ. You will not find in the Quran using this word, or this word being used, يُلْفَظُ بِهِ, the word being used, except in the context of revenge, or Allah punishing. بِخِلَافِ الْغَيْثِ, as opposed to the word غَيْث, which is another word for rain. So there are two words in Arabic in the Quran for rain, matar and ghayth. Matar and ghayth, right? الَّذِي يَذْكُرُهُ الْقُرْآنُ فِي الْخَيْرِ, the one that Quran mentions in good context. قَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah said, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنْذَرِينَ, and we rained upon them a kind of rain. What a horrible rain it was, the rain of those who were warned, meaning rained fire on them, rained meteors on them, rained, you know, that kind of rain. وَانْظُرَ الشُّعَرَى, نَسُوتَ الشُّعَرَى, ayah 73, قَالْ وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and we rained on them a kind of rain. Then take a look what became the outcome of those that engaged in crime. So again, that kind of rain can't be a good thing, right? وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْا عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ, and they passed by a village that had been rained on in the most evil kind of way, in the harmful, the most harmful kind of rain had fallen on them. So to Furqan. At the same time, so this, every time I've used the word matar or heard the word matar being used in these ayat, it's being used for destructive rain, right? But now في حين قال وهو الذي ينزل الغيث من بعد ما قنطوا وينشر رحمته وهو الولي الحميد, and he's the one who sends غيث, not matar. Ghaith, plentiful rain, life-giving rain, even after they had lost hope, and he distributes his mercy and his loving care, and he's the protective friend, the one to be praised all the time. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ, and so with Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam said, 7 years no rain. Then the rain is going to be a good thing or a bad thing after 7 years of drought? It's going to be a good thing. He says, and after that, there's going to be a year in which, after the 14 years actually, there's going to be a year in which people will be rained on, and in it they will squeeze juices, meaning they'll grow all kinds of fruit. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا اخْتَصَّ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ فِي اسْتِعْمَالِ الْعُيُونِ وَالْأَعْيُنِ. This I want to show you a little bit of an explanation. So let me open this up. عَيْن in Arabic means eye. Okay? عَيْن in Arabic also has lots of other meanings, but one of its other meanings is waterfall or spring. Spring of water, okay? So both things.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, in Arabic culture, things that really look good to the eye was also called eye.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the most beautiful things to the Arab was a waterfall,
mm-hmm.
so they also called it ayn. So that's singular, okay? Now, ruyun is eyes or waterfalls. Ayun means eyes or waterfalls. Ayun also means eyes or waterfalls. So it's the same word in the singular, mm-hmm. right? And the plural is interchangeable, meaning the plural, there's two plurals for it, ruyun and ayun. And they could be, it means eyes or it could mean waterfalls. That's mm-hmm. Arabic before Islam. Mm-hmm. What did Quran come and do? Quran said, no, Allah decided that he's going to use ruyun mm-hmm. only for waterfalls. And he's going to use ayun only for eyes. Mm-hmm. Like what used to be open, you had both choices. The Quran created a speech pattern inside it, a consistent speech pattern, in which Ruyun was always for waterfalls and Ayun was always for eyes. So he's going to give examples of that now. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ مَخْتَصَّ بِهِ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ فِي اسْتِعْمَالِ الْعُيُونِ وَالْعَيُونِ. And that, another example of that is how the Quran specified the usage of Ruyun, which means waterfalls or eyes, and Ayun, which means waterfalls or eyes. فَلَمْ يَسْتَعْمِلُ الْعُيُونِ إِلَّا لِعُيُونِ الْمَاءِ. So he never used عُيُون except for عُيُون of water, meaning springs of water. وَقَدْ وَرَدَتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعُيُونِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ فِي عَشَرَةْ مَوَاطِنْ كُلِّهَا بِمَعْنَى عُيُونِ الْمَاءِ مِنْ مِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. So 10 times Allah used the word عُيُون. And every time it was springs of water. فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُون, فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُون, etc. etc. فِي حِينٍ جَمَعَ الْعَيْنَ الْبَاصِرَةَ عَلَى أَعْيُنٍ. And at the same time, he made the plural of the eye that sees, العين البصيرة, mm-hmm. with the word أعين. مثل قوله الذين كانت أعينهم في غطاء عن ذكري سحروا أعين الناس ترى أعينهم تفيض من الدمع. So in Surah Al-Kahf, their eyes are covered, أعين. They mystified the eyes of the people, the sorcerers of Egypt mystified the eyes of the people, أعين. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. You'll see the Christians who hear the Quran, you see their eyes roll with tears when they hear the word of Allah. So this is again the unique speech of Allah, right? Because Arabic didn't do that. The humans that were using Arabic didn't do that. Allah using Arabic did that. He did something unique. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ إِسْتِعْمَالْ وَصَّى وَأَوْصَى. I love this one. And another example of this is the use of وَصَّى and awsa. Now you guys have done a little bit of sub, so I can, our general audience that's watching on social media, it's an opportunity for me to make you feel bad, so you should learn Arabic too, because it's not hard. Kids are learning it. Yeah. And they didn't give up the rest of their life to learn it. Nor are they sitting under a tree in a desert somewhere and are drinking direct camel milk in order to learn Arabic. They are still having plenty of junk food and playing video games and learning Arabic. You can learn it too. It's not that hard. Okay? It's just a matter of developing the mindset.
Willpower.
And it's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. Is it that hard, Lydia?
No.
No, it's not. Oh,
yeah.
It's either smart on her face. Okay. Remember Allama and Aslama families?
Yeah.
Okay. Wassa is from the Allama family. You know the Shabda in the middle and the last letter is off?
Mm-hmm.
And Awsa is from the Aslama family. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those of you that have studied self elsewhere, this is the fa'ala pattern, and this is the af'ala pattern, okay? Now, both these words, wassa and awsa in Arabic, means to give counsel, mm-hmm. to give counsel, okay? But to give counsel as you're dying is mm-hmm. to leave a will. For the most extreme case of giving counsel, to leave a will, like dying counsel,
mm-hmm.
like I leave you with, oh, you get the house, you get this, you get this, you get nothing because I don't like your face, etc. Right? I know you came here to collect. You're going to get nothing. Remember, these, this is all you get. You want counsel? Brush your teeth. Like, hey. So the point is, to leave a will is wasa and awsa. This was before Islam. These words could be used for somebody who's left a will behind. Okay? Left that counsel behind. What did the Quran do? It used wassa and awsa, both of them.
Yeah.
But every time it used wassa with a shadda, which by the way is slow and prolonged.
Mm-hmm.
Wassa is slow and prolonged because allama is slow and prolonged.
Yeah.
Every time it used wassa, it used it for في الدين والأمور المعنوية in religious matters or meaning, you know, things that are values, things related to values and ethics and right and wrong. It's really beautiful that Allah did that, because counseling someone to do good in the religion is not a one-time thing. Hey, pray. It's not going to change somebody. But lovingly showing them the benefits of prayer, lovingly praying in front of them, you know, gently advising at the right time, allowing them time to learn to see the value of it, and eventually they see a change in themselves. That's wasa, right? But awsa, af'ala, is actually immediate. And immediate means, for example, you know, the will isn't like, oh, when you finally get time, slowly give them the house. No, it's a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a writ. Yeah. So it's immediate. So he uses awsa, فَهُوَ فِي الْأُمُورِ الْمَادِّيَةِ, and it's awsa was used in financial issues, because a will technically is a financial thing. Yeah. So there's a spiritual will and there's a financial will, right? When somebody dies, we only think about the financial will, right? Who's going to get the car, who's going to get the house, who's going to get the bank account, etc., right? But there's a spiritual will also. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, wassa. You hear the shadda? That's prolonged. Ibrahim counseled his children with the same advice, with the same will that Yaqub counseled his children with. What is that counsel? And because it's the prolonged one, Allah used this in the spiritual context. My sons, it is no doubt Allah, He has chosen for you the religion. Then don't you dare die except that you're Muslims. I'm dying, but when your death comes, know that you should be in Islam. This was the dying advice of Ibrahim and Yaqub. And wasa also suggests that they kept on giving that advice, you know, throughout their lives. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. What has been carved as a way for you from the religion is what was given as a counsel to Nuh alayhi salam. وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. And the same counsel that we have revealed to you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. And we gave the same counsel to Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ, that you establish the religion. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, and you don't fall into division in it. Is this spiritual counsel or financial counsel?
Financial.
So hold on to the deen. Don't fall divided.
Sure.
This is financial?
Not sure.
This is pretty spiritual.
Yeah.
You're like, spiritual money? Okay. Well, so listen carefully and tell me if it's spiritual or financial. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. We had given counsel to those who were given the book much before you, and to you, that you should be mindful of Allah. You should protect yourselves from making Allah unhappy.
It's a spiritual.
Spiritual counsel. So you hear the shadda again. وَصَّيْنَا. وَصَّى نُوحًا. وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ. You know, وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Spiritual counsel, spiritual counsel, spiritual counsel. At the same time, في حين قال, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah talks about the will, the financial counsel, right? He says, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ. Remember, أَسْلَمَ يُسْلِمُ? So, عَلَّمَ would be وَصَى يُوَصِّي. يُوَصِّي. The تَفْعِيل pattern. And أَوْصَى will be يُسْلِمُ, will be like يُوصِي. No shabda anymore.
Yeah, يُوصِي.
Right? You see that, right? Get it? You see that?
Yeah.
You see that? Okay. So you see. So there's no shadda, and there's no spiritual counsel now. You see kumullahu fi awladikum lidhakari mithlu haddil unthayain. Allah is counseling you when it comes to your children. The boy gets double the share of the girl. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a context to that. I know all the comments are like, how come there's a double share? One day. Calm down.
Well,
so then in the case of the inheritors, مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْدَيْنِ, after the counsel has been given, يُوصِي بِهَا, that he leaves behind, or any loans that are paid off. In other words, when the inheritance conversation is happening in the Qur'an, then أَوْصَى يُوصِي is used, not the shadda version of the word, وَصَى يُوصِي. وَهِيَ كَمَا تَرَى كُلَّهَا فِي الْأُمُورِ الْمَادِيَةِ. And as you can see, all of these are financial matters. وَلَمْ تَرِدْ أَوْصَى في القرآن الكريم للأمور المعنوية إلا في موطن واحد. But أوصى was used once in spiritual. So the non-shadda version, the أسلم version, the أفعل version is used in a spiritual sense once. But look at what happened, just like we did with winds. When good wind was used, what came immediately after? The storm.
Yeah.
Right? So now spiritual counsel is being used with awsa, and what does he do immediately? He says, اقترنت فيه بأمر مادي. He immediately tied it to a financial matter. So what does he say on the tongue of Jesus? Isa alayhi salam says this in Surah Maryam, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حِيَّةِ. And he counseled me to pray and zakat so long as I'm alive. No, what's the financial in here?
Zakat.
فَإِنَّهُ قَالَ تَعَالَى أَوْصَانِي لَمَّا اقْتَرَنَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بِالزَّكَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةُ أَمْرٌ مَادِّي يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ كَمَا هُوَ مَعْلُومٌ. Just and so he connected salah and zakat together, and zakat is a financial matter as is known. This is my favorite one. This is like, it's so cool. And I haven't taught you this yet, like the advanced love, but I want to show you something that's so beautiful. Like, this is one of those, when I studied this the first time, I was like, the word of God, man, that's just, that can't be human. Mm-hmm. That's just too much. You know what? What human brain can process like this? Mm-hmm. So let me tell you what I'm talking about. Remember the Jahada family?
Jahada, yeah.
Jahada,
Yudu.
We'll just do mudari, madi mudari. Jahada yujahidu. Okay. What's the lightest version of yujahidu?
Yujahid.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The Arabs have a word shaqaqa. Mm-hmm. And then the present tense is yushaqiqu. That's too much qiqu. So what do they do when they have two letters that are the same?
Yusha.
They fuse them together.
Yusha.
So they say yushaqu. Okay. Yusha-ku. But the problem happens, how do you make it the lightest version, the majzum version? Mm-hmm. Okay, so they came up with three versions. Yusha-ki and yusha-kik. Yusha-kik. There's a version where you get to keep the sukun. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at these two versions, yusha-ki and yusha-kik. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of the yujahid equivalent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm saying is, yushak, by the way, means the one who stands against, resists, opposes. Okay, those are the meanings of yushak. So you have a version which the qa is fused together, and you have a version which the qa is, you can hear two qafs, yushaqiq. And they both, in Arabic before Islam, they both meant the same thing. If somebody said yushaqi and somebody said yushaqiq, there were actually two different dialects from two different villages. Like, some people in some towns were more used to saying yushaqi, and other people were used to saying yushaqiq. And people understood, you must be from Karachi, that's what you're saying. Like, oh, you're from Kabul, you say yushaqi? It's like that. Okay? So he's going to talk about that. And this, and you'll see, inshallah, why this is so powerful. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى يُشَاقِي وَيُشَاقِقْ. And these are two dialects, two different accents from two different places. Al-fakku lughatul hijazi wal-idghamu lughatul tamim. When they are kept separate, that's the people of Hijaz. So when they're separate, infikak is separation, that's yushaqiq. That's the dialect of the people of Hijaz. And yushaqi is idgham, is lughat tamim, the people of Tamim, different tribe. Lakin al-Qur'an istamalahuma. But the Quran used them in a special way because they all knew each other's dialects, right? فَحَيْثُ وَرَدَ ذِكْرَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَكَّ الْإِدْغَامِ وَحَيْثُ لَمْ يَرِدْ ذِكْرَ الرَّسُولِ لَمْ يَرِدْ ذِكْرُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَلْ وَرَدَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ أُدْغِمْ. It's so amazing. Sometimes Allah talks about Allah and His Messenger. Allah and His Messenger. Those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Okay. And sometimes Allah talks about those who only oppose Allah. Those who only oppose Allah. Or those who only oppose the Messenger. Okay. So, listen to this. And by the way, when you oppose, there are people who oppose, let me explain this to you over here. When you oppose Allah, and you oppose Allah and Messenger. And then when you oppose Messenger, there's three possibilities, right? Is it possible that somebody has been opposing Allah even before the Messenger came?
Yeah.
That's possible. This is important. Okay? It's possible that somebody has been opposing Allah even before the Messenger came. But, and it is possible that somebody opposes Allah and His Messenger together? Yes? And by the way, when somebody opposes the messenger, isn't it automatic that they're definitely also opposing Allah? Mm-hmm. Right? So this one is two. Right? Mm-hmm. This one is actually also two. But this one is one. Because this one can happen even without the existence of a messenger.
Yeah.
Okay? Now. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقْ. Mm-hmm. Separated or together?
Together.
يُشَاقِقْ. Two qafs or one qaf?
Two.
Two qafs. Mm-hmm. Who is mentioned? Allah and His Messenger. Mm-hmm. Two are mentioned, two qafs. يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ. Whoever opposes the messenger, mm-hmm. what do we say? If you oppose the messenger, who are you also opposing?
Allah.
Two qafs. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِ اللَّهَ. One qaf. Mm-hmm. Who's mentioned?
Allah.
Allah. Whoever opposes Allah. One qaf. When two are implied, you hear two qafs. When one is implied, you hear one qaf. I'm like, something that the Arabs never thought about. Mm-hmm. Like the phonetics corresponding to the context is not something that even ever occurred to them. Mm-hmm. And the Quran is doing that in such a subtle, powerful way. وَلَعَلَّهُ وَحَّدَ الْحَرْفَيْنِ أَدْغَمَهُمَا فِي حَرْفٍ وَاحِدٍ لِأَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ فَكَّهُمَا وَأَظْهَرَهُمَا لِأَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَكَانَ اثْنَيْنِ. So it's maybe he did that because when he is implying Allah and his messenger, then it's separated as if there are two. And when he is saying just Allah, then he kept it as one. Okay, so that's what we're going to stop at today, inshallah. I hope you guys are enjoying the series. We're almost done with his introduction. And then I won't be reading from the book anymore. I'll just be explaining the examples in simple.
Do you have an English translation of this?
Well, I'm hoping that these lectures are going to get... There's a couple of volunteers that actually started transcribing the Arabic side by side with the English and making it into a PDF set.
Yeah,
cool. I'll look at it. Inshallah, we'll have it edited and maybe we can even turn it into a translation of the book. Inshallah. I'll have a figure out a way of reaching the author. It's so cool. It's so... Like, the Qadr of Allah is so incredible. When I first was introduced to Dr. Samirai's work, I was like, man, where do I access more of it? And, you know, you see how he gives an example here in this book. He's talking about Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Al-Nisa and Surah Al-Hashr. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I wish somebody organized it by the surah. Like, every time he talks about this surah, it was all in one place. Or that surah, all in one place. I wish it was there. And then I found this website, islamiyat.com, Sister Arnoot, who I never met. I've mm-hmm. never known her. Put this website together, you see her name like under the, you know, contact us email. And she put Lamasat Bayaniya from his show under like all the questions by which episode did he ask about this surah. And she collected all the notes from each surah, transcriptions, word documents. My God, it was profoundly helpful. And when I taught divine speech for the first time, I heavily used it. Mm-hmm. And I thanked, you know, her. I sent her a thank you note way back. I don't even remember if she got it or not. So this is years ago. This is like maybe 12, 13 years ago, or even longer. And what happens is, 5 days ago, I get an email from Sister Arnoot, who I've never spoken to before, and she says, I thank Allah that I've stumbled upon your lectures, and I'm benefiting greatly from them. She wrote me in Arabic, and she's like, I was like, what's happening? And she's like, yeah, and I'm spreading it to people, you know, that can benefit. And I was like, I've been learning from you. I haven't studied Dr. Samirai from your work. So she's like, oh, if I can be of any benefit. I was like, oh, wow. What a small world. SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. And the author, what a beautiful human being. He had a show, Lamasat Bayaniya. And one of his students who did his PhD under him, Dr. Muthanna, who's running an Arabic institute in Houston, Texas. I consider him a teacher also and a mentor. So I reached out to him many years ago, back when we had a campus in Irving. And I was like, I really want to reach out to him. Can I please just talk to him? Can I just hang out with him? And he had actually moved back to Iraq, even though it was not a stable place, because he wanted to restore education in Iraq and Quran studies. So he was in Iraq, and then we tried to meet, but his health wouldn't allow it, and travel was difficult and things like that. And I probably wasn't going to go to Iraq. So what he did, he went to visit his family in Iraq, Dr. Muthanna, our teacher. He went there, and he... sat with Dr. Samirai, and he made a video of him making dua for Bayyana and the students, which is pretty epic, you know, and he gave us some nasiha, some advice. So it was really beautiful that we had a connection to him like that. So may Allah preserve these people that have done this, you know, remarkable work. One day, inshallah, I'll tell you his story, because his story is unreal, man. He, and his books, inshallah, those of you that get to the level of Arabic, his books are a phenomenal resource. They're really beautiful introduction to a dimension of the Quran that systematically hasn't been talked about the way that he does. Mm-hmm. He just did a phenomenal job organizing it. So with that, inshallah, I'll conclude today's session. I think we have only... yeah, we have a little bit left. I think two more sessions, and I think we should be done with the introduction. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum.
Rahmatullahi. Assalamu alaikum, guys. Ramadan Mubarak. Yeah.